That's always fresh and clean, clean RPO flow, so you know we pitch it to Raheem. Trent's out front, so you know what it's gonna be. Bubble screens at the house and they screaming TD on repeat. Debo's at the line, it's a freebie. Ushak's in the back and he's like, they don't see me. Faithful, stand up, it's time to get greedy.
What is up, 49ers faithful? Welcome to another episode of the 49ers Rush Podcast. It has been a little bit of a break as offseason is upon us. Did a little trip, which was awesome. Had to get in just a little bit more ski time, which was wonderful. Then the computer broke. I got a new computer for 2 weeks before I return it and get my old computer back and all these other things. But man, it is an absolute pleasure and honor to be with you guys today. And yes, every third stroke, we got some new intro music. Part of me losing my old computer, a lot of files were lost, including the wife intro. So my buddy, Charles Barr, if you remember, if you were with us in the draft, you know, we were going through all the draft stuff. He's a musical guy that's at host Chuck B, but he is incredible, lots of talent, and he wanted me to do a challenge, and so I was like, heck yeah, man, let's do it. And the idea is this: if you would like to compete and possibly have a song, whether that's rap, rock, whatever, cover, doesn't matter, go ahead and submit that, and we'll go through some of those, and the winner, you know, I'll play those options out, and we'll vote through it during the offseason, and the winner, I'll have to throw them some 49ers stuff, some 49ers Rush podcast gear, and some other stuff. So, yeah, if you want to submit a song, you know, we need it to be about 30 to 45 seconds long, not too much longer than that. But yeah, if you want to throw something up there, man, let me know. There's so many talented people that are part of the 49ers Rush podcast, and I love it. So hopefully you guys enjoyed the little intro there. I thought Chuck did a good job. At host Chuck B, hit him up and let him know how it is. Now, here we are. It's a weird time. The playoffs are in full swing. We got the divisional round this weekend, and the 49ers aren't playing, unfortunately. But they are everywhere in the news. And, you know, the amount of emails and questions I got on Deshaun Watson, holy freaking cow, there were a lot. And that's not a bad thing. It's a great thing. But what does that look like? Free agency. We've got, you know, general managers, both of our vice president of players personnel are out there, Martin Mayhew and Adam Peters getting interviews, Robert Saleh, of course, and then we've got Mike McDaniels, LaFleur. There's so many moving parts, and we haven't even touched free agency, which we've got a lot of those guys as well. And we're going to go ahead and be getting a lot of those questions in. And if you have any questions, please throw them up in the chat. At John Chapman, that way I can see it, and we're going to dive through those. But I wanted the focus of today to be at the quarterback position. That's kind of where everything is going, and you know, we could speculate on Robert Saleh, who I do believe will get a head coaching job somewhere. And I think one of, if not both, Adam Peters or Martin Mayhew will get a GM job as well. There's going to be turnover. But right now, it is just speculation. That's exactly what it is. And so I don't want to jump too big into those until we find something, you know, that actually happens and that we can go over who's going to be the replacement defensive coordinator, all those things. But we got to talk about Deshaun Watson. Now, first off, let me say this. Deshaun Watson getting traded makes zero sense if you're the Texans. And so for a trade to take place, you have to have it make sense for two teams and the player. Deshaun Watson, he is in control. Now, if he really wanted out of Houston, it's going to have to get super, super ugly. Okay, it's not one of those teams or contracts. He just signed an extension 2 months ago. And so it's not even like... he just signed a long-term deal, and it's a huge contract. You know, you look at the numbers of his deal and what he signed, a four-year, $156 million contract. We're talking teacher money here. This dude's making some money with a $27 million signing bonus. So the numbers are there. Now, is this a tradable contract? Yes, it is. You know, you look at what his cap number is, because again, they redid this in 2020 knowing, you know, what next year is going to look like. He's only got a $15.9 million cap hit next year in 2021 with the shortened, you know, cap for everybody. But you look at the numbers long term, $40 million in 2022. Again, these are cap hits. $42 million in 2023, $37 million in 2024, $32 million in 2025. So let me say this. The contract is tradable. It is. Now, the problem is Houston is going to miss out on millions of dollars because of how much they backloaded this and put in there with all the salary cap stuff. So believe you me whenever I say this, Deshaun Watson is a top three quarterback in the NFL. Top three. Now you could debate on, you know, who is ahead of him. You got to put Patrick Mahomes up there. You could put Russell Wilson or Josh Allen. But for me, it goes Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson. That's it. That's my top three. Now, you could say, oh, well, all right, what about Aaron Rodgers? Yeah, Aaron Rodgers this year, incredible. He's amazing. MVP. I think he deserves that. But is he going to be playing for how long? That's kind of the question. Deshaun Watson's 25 years old. This dude could play for another 15 years, 14 years to be exact, before he is at the age of Aaron Rodgers. So, having said all those things, do I think Deshaun Watson is going to be traded? No, I don't. Would I trade for Deshaun Watson? You bet your rear end I would. I would send three first-round picks for Deshaun Watson, and I am anti-trading first-round picks. The draft is my baby. You take away 3 years of first-round picks, I don't even know how I'm going to sleep in the month of freaking March because I'm doing all the mock drafts and all that stuff. But for Deshaun Watson, you do it. He was my number one rated player in the draft that year. Patrick Mahomes obviously has passed him. But I love me some Deshaun Watson. If you have the call needs to be made, but here's how that call goes. John Lynch calls the brass for the Houston Texans. Hey, we're interested in trading for Deshaun Watson. And then you get a dial tone. That's how that goes. And it's just not going to happen. Yeah, I get it. Deshaun Watson wearing the Joe Montana jersey on his Instagram account. Love it. But it's just not, it's not happening. It's just not going to happen. So, I want to say thank you first off. Rolls Royce, what's up? He says, hey, Chapman, love your work. I love it. I heard John was going bald. That's why he's always wearing a hat now. Man, I am the opposite of bald. I don't even have a receding hairline yet. My body has failed me in every way, shape, and form. Luckily, the hair front is not one of them yet. That is Dale from Eat Sleep Fantasy, hashtag negativity. Keep bringing it, brother. He's a good friend. He just doesn't know how to use sarcasm very well. At Home Dude says, could Watson win with a defense like what the Niners had this year? In other words, Bosa leaving in the deal. I know it's not popular. Yikes. So here is the pecking order of premium positions. Okay. Quarterback all by itself. It's number one. Number two, edge rushers all by itself. Number three, offensive tackles and cornerbacks. So if the question is as simple as, would you trade a top defensive end for a top quarterback? The answer is almost always yes. However, it gets convoluted when Nick Bosa is in the second year of a five-year cheap deal and Deshaun Watson is already in his second contract. You know, if it was as posed as simple as trading Nick Bosa for Deshaun Watson straight up, I don't think many 49ers fans would disagree with the logic behind that, but it's going to take Nick Bosa plus, because again, the amount of money that Houston would be losing on this, not to miss a publicity, you know, fans would be pissed off, all those things. But the answer is yes. If we had Deshaun Watson this year, with Nick Bosa and D Ford and all those people out, we're in the damn playoffs. There is no doubt in my mind. So do you swap those straight up? Yeah, you would, but that's not an option. You're talking Nick Bosa plus two first rounders. That I would not do. I would not even entertain that, but it's what it is. Rolla says this, what do you think of signing King 2 to replace Sherman's spot? Yeah, I'm not quite sure who you're talking about there. You know, there's Kevin King, The second, that's who I'm assuming. Yeah, he plays the position well. I love Washington corners. You know, Patrick Sertan's another option in the draft, and we're going to be dealing with those considerably. How about the water boy? Yeah, I like water boy. I'm down with that. Too bad Bill O'Brien isn't still there. Here's what pisses me off most about Bill O'Brien. One, he's a terrible human being. Two, he's a terrible coach. Three, he helped every damn team in the NFC West except for the 49ers. You put that on, you know, our own front office or whatever, that's fine. But it's what it is. What's your take on Marcus Mariota in red and gold next year? No way. There's no way. Zero possibility chance that takes place. John Gruden loves Marcus Mariota more than Marcus Mariota's parents. And the contract that they gave him, I think it was like 2 years, $17 million. He paid out the wazoo to get Marcus Mariota there. He's not going anywhere. You could offer a second round pick for Marcus Mariota and John Gruden would say no. He loves that guy. So it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So I don't mind Marcus Mariota. I met him in person briefly. He was a very handsome fellow. Seemed very, very polite. But I think it'd be a good fit, but it's a no for me. You look at what happened to Tennessee as soon as he was no longer behind the quarterback or under center. It got bad. It got really, really bad. Sebastian says this. Has the draft crush for Fred Warner's brother, BYU safety, started yet? Yeah, it's fun to watch. And, you know, 49ers fans are very familiar with BYU's film. We're going to watch some of it here in a little bit. Because of Zach Wilson, the quarterback at BYU, there's so many ties to, you know, this team with, you know, obviously you've got Steve Young, Fred Warner. There's ties there. So why not, man? Do we need a safety? Yeah, I haven't done his film yet, so let me just say that. We could use safety depth for sure. I doubt we bring Jaquaski Tartt back. But there's some room there. There's no doubt about that. Moses says, you scared me. Thought something happened. No, just I try to go on at least 2 ski trips a year. And, you know, with COVID, it's kind of weird. So, you know, luckily skiing's outside. And, man, just got to get away. I went from the first week of August all the way up until that last 49ers game with one day off in between. So, from the first week of August to, I don't even remember the date now of the last 49ers game. But I had one day off from teaching or 49ers stuff. And I was at my wit's end, to say the least. I was running on fumes, but I feel great. I love it. Luis, he says, I still have the 49ers Rush podcast t-shirt. I love it. Hashtag countdown crew. Hashtag CC. Now, I had talked about giving away a Nick Bosa jersey for the countdown crew, and I'm still going to do that. But with my computer troubles and all those things, I wasn't even sure this live broadcast would work. This is my first time on this computer. We are still going to do that giveaway. So I'm going to give you 2 more episodes before we do that. So hashtag countdown crew, get your entries in. All you got to do is hashtag CC in the first 90 seconds of any live production on YouTube or Periscope. And that gets you in. So let's jump in now. Let's talk some freaking quarterbacks, baby, in the draft. Now, top of the list, Trevor Lawrence, 6'6", 220. He's incredible. 49ers have more of a chance to get Deshaun Watson than you do Trevor Lawrence. It's not happening. It's just not going to happen, and it's not happening because it's not going to happen. So I haven't even broke down his film. I'm not going to. I probably will. I will break down his film, but it's not happening. Now, the second best option in my quarterback ranking so far. Now, I've gone through at least 2 games for these top tier guys. I even went through one of the game films of Desmond Ridder, the quarterback for Cincinnati, who just announced he's going back. So Ridder's out. But the number 2 option for me is none other than Zach Wilson, staying with BYU. 6'3", 210. 3-year starter. And I'm going to show, again, if you're new to the show, first off, I want to say thank you and welcome. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. I do Patreon video breakdowns. I just finished another Patreon video breakdown of Kyle Trask, 40 minutes long, just going through his game tape, the All-22 and all those things. So what I want to do first is just show a quick clip of Zach Wilson and kind of what we do over at Patreon. I love this kid. He's my number two quarterback. I don't think the 49ers have much of a chance, which I know breaks a lot of hearts unless you trade up big time. And we'll deal with some of those scenarios here soon. But here is a real quick just play breakdown of Zach Wilson, quarterback BYU. And this kid is freaking fun. Now it's third and four. Let's see what he can do. And he's going through a lot of his reads. He didn't have pressure, but he bailed here. I wonder why. A three-man rush. That pocket is clean. But he does like to play outside the numbers. I mean, there is no pressure anywhere, but he's going to bail. And you see this often with, you know, kind of younger quarterbacks. He didn't have to go anywhere. Let's see what he can do. Ooh, chunking it deep. Got him. This is incredible. I mean, that is a throw. That's an NFL-level throw. These are the plays that separate Zach Wilson from others. Just throwing it easy on the run. I mean, freaking looks like a baseball player there, chunking it to home plate. Puts it up, very catchable ball, perfect spot down the field. That's a hell of a play on third and four. So, again, if you're just listening to audio, that's fine. I just wanted to show just a real quick clip, and we'll get to some of the other quarterbacks as well. Now, here's the deal with Zach Wilson, okay? The positives and the negatives. He's a three-year starter. It kind of came out of nowhere. Nobody had him even as a draft-eligible quarterback starting this year, 2020. You look at his 2019 stats, 11 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Definitely nothing special. 62% completion percentage. Again, this is 2019 numbers. It just wasn't there. And then he explodes. 2020, he comes out, new guy, and things finally click. Now, what was it that caused that? Are you getting the first 2 years starting, or are you picking up where he left off? This kid has exponentially improved. You look at his 2020 numbers, which, again, I'm not sure these are finalized with the draft numbers. I did this right before his the bowl game or whatever. 73% completion percentage, elite. 30 touchdowns to 3 interceptions. This guy took a turn. 195 quarterback passer rating. 7th best all time in the history of college football. 7th best all time. The kid went ham. Now, 6'3", 210. He is mobile, but he's not a burner by any stretch. And if he's going to be a running quarterback at the next level, he needs to add weight. His body is not fully developed yet, NFL standard-wise. He should be around 220, 225. But he'll be able to add weight relatively easily. But again, negatives, he's got a weird throwing motion and injury history on that throwing shoulder. That is a problem. Is he a good quarterback? He's a great quarterback. He's my number two. I have him ahead of Justin Fields, and I have him in a tier of his own. So I have, you know, if I'm just looking at kind of numbers, I have, what's it called? I have Lawrence by himself in a tier all to his own. I have Zach Wilson in a tier all of his own. Then I get to that third tier, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But I love Zach Wilson. The injury history, the weird kind of, it's not as bad as Phillip Rivers throwing motion, but it's a three-quarter baseball throw. He doesn't come over the top with the ball like you're used to seeing. But having said that, he still has some decent arm talent. Is he going to compete for longest, you know, strongest arm in the NFL? Hell no. He's not even close to that. But what he does do is he is accurate and he does throw the ball downfield. Now, is throwing, is arm strength a problem with him? No, it's not. He checks off all of the boxes there. But again, he's not elite. He's not going to be a top 10, you know, arm strength quarterback in the NFL. That's not what's going to happen. But what he does differently than anybody else, his hips, good God, his hips. Which is weird to say about a man, but hey, let's do it. I'm proud. anyway, his mobility is key because he extends the plays well. And he is able to throw on the run as well as any quarterback that I've graded in a very long time. And I'm not, you know, hyperbole always happens whenever you're talking, you know, NFL draft and all these things. But that kid can flip his hips quick, and so he can throw from anywhere on the field. Running left, throwing right, he can do it. Running right, throwing left, he can do it. He is a baller. He's a gamer. And there is no situation that's too big for him. And my favorite thing about him is he has a deadly kind of Tiger Woods mindset. I'm watching the Tiger Woods documentary on HBO Max. If you haven't watched it, it's incredible. But his mindset is, I want that damn touchdown. I want the touchdown. I want to go after these guys. And you see it on the field. You see the way the players kind of get around him. Aaron Rodgers, he has nowhere near that arm, but very similar play style where, you know, he's going to elongate plays. He's going to get outside the numbers and chunk it downfield. He has all those things. So I freaking love it. I really, really do like Zach Wilson a lot. So that's where I am now. I've got a lot more film to do on him. Again, I think I have a 45 or minute breakdown on Zach Wilson currently up on the Patreon. So if you want to head over there, patreon.com/49ersRushPodcast, that is there. Just got this question from James Lopez. Would you trade 3 first-round picks, so our next 3 consecutive first-round picks, plus Fred Warner for Deshaun Watson straight up? I would rather trade those 3 picks and Jimmy Garoppolo for Deshaun Watson. I would do that. Man, Fred Warner and 3 picks? I think some people might hate me for saying this, but I think I would. You're getting to that point now where I'm like, that's too much. But here's the difference. Fred Warner needs a new contract. He's about to be getting paid. Okay, so the cheap Fred Warner days, those are in the past. And I love Fred Warner. Linebacker 1. But again, you go through that hierarchy of positional value, off the ball linebackers, pretty far down. Also, I can say this, I really like Dre Greenlaw. I think Dre Greenlaw could play Mike. Can he be as good as Fred Warner? No. But you got to get that quarterback position. And Moses, I'm with you, man. We're going defensive line in the first round. I think you're right, man. I wouldn't even be surprised at all if the 49ers continue to just go edge, because that's who we are, and it is a need. And I'm seeing this across the Twitter line. Daddy Miller, thank you. Jags just officially hired Urban Meyer, and guess who his general manager is? Trent Baalke. Oh, my gosh. That is yuck. Not only is the owner going to have final say over the roster, but Trent Baalke's your GM. The good news is you got Trevor Lawrence, so they're going to be just fine. It's what it is. So anyway, now let's move to quarterback number. He's my quarterback number 3 overall. But again, I'm not counting Trevor Lawrence in my quarterback rankings because there's no shot at getting him. Trey Lance. I have him ahead of Justin Fields, and I know a lot of people are going to disagree with me. That's okay. These are my rankings. One of the best things that you can do with people, especially in the draft community or fantasy football community or sports community, is disagree, not with the attitude of, I need to convince this person why, but to listen and say, why does this guy have him above this other guy that is consensus, whatever, right? Find what the players can do and what that is. And with Trey Lance, there's a lot of positives. There's a lot of negatives too, and we're going to cover that. But before we do, this is the one game that Trey Lance, North Dakota State quarterback, 6'3", 224. This is the one game he was able to play this year. The Missouri Valley Conference canceled they postponed it all the way to the spring. But the NFL draft people that were available, Trey Lance included, said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to prepare for the draft. I mean, going through a season, you know, in April when the draft is in April, it just wasn't very conducive. So he got one game in. And so here is a clip real quick from that game. And then this is Trey Lance, quarterback, North Dakota State. And then we're going to talk about him for a little bit. All right, here we go. 1st and 10. They're in field goal range. They can tie it. Go for the touchdown. Oh, man. Backside. This is what this kid brings. Play action. He's all the way reading. You're talking about reading sideline to sideline. Watch him read the left side. Look at his eyes. He's reading this route right here, one-on-one. He doesn't like it. And he's got a pass rusher in his face. He's going to plant, switch his hips, and read the backside wheel route by Kyle Juszczyk out of the back of the end zone, baby. You have to defend the whole field versus this kid. These are things quarterbacks don't do at this level. North Dakota State runs a very complex system and asks a lot of their quarterback. A big reason why a lot of people fell in love with Carson Wentz. Dang.
Did you know that you can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks? You can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball, hockey, college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number 1 fantasy sports app. And here's what's great. You can get action on sports on more than 30 different states across the country, including California, Texas, and Georgia. On top of that, you got playoff basketball actions on the horizon, and this is the best place to take advantage of all of basketball's postseason actions. Some of these player props: Nikolai Jokic for over 10 rebounds, Anthony Davis more than 2 blocks, Lillard, 4 three-pointers made. You get to pick exactly how you want to use your bets. So, download the app today. Use code 49ers49ERS for a deposit match up to $100. Again, that's promo code 49ers for a first deposit match up to $100 over on Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
If you care about security and convenience, you need Eufy Video Lock. Let's just say you're sitting on the couch and you want to lock the door and you don't want to get up. Got you covered. You're wondering who's visited your house while you're away from home? Done. You want video that's stored on your device without a monthly fee? Eufy Video Lock has everything that you need. On top of that, it's easy to install. You don't have to drill anything. All you need is a Phillips screwdriver. That's it. Keyless entry, fingerprint recognition, no battery anxiety, and they have 24/7 customer support on standby for you whenever you need it. So, if you haven't yet, go to Eufy Video Lock. You can Google it. You can check out the videos and all those things. That is Eufy Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock to see how you can gain complete control of your door. That's Eufy Video Lock.
That is huge. Fourth quarter, down 3. Big, big play. So, there we go. That's Trey Lance, just a real quick play, and I like that play, and I put that in there because the 49ers run that exact same play. The exact same play. We do it out of a little different formation, but it doesn't take much to look at North Dakota State's, and I know people are like, what? North Dakota State? Yeah, that's where Carson Wentz came from. They have one of the most complex offenses. Of all these top quarterbacks I've graded, theirs is the most complex. It's not even close. Trey Lance was responsible for calling his own protections at the line every single play. This guy, like, I get it. He played 1 year. That's it. He's a one-year starter. That's a red flag. But he didn't play this year. That's a red flag. But whenever you look at when he did play, 29 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Now, it is a run-heavy offense. 0 interceptions. Did you hear that? He has never lost a game. And he threw 1 interception in the game, the one game that he played this year. But if you look at turnover-worthy plays, he had 4 turnover-worthy plays, like dropped interceptions, whatever else. You look at these other quarterbacks with kind of where they were, it's a big difference. It's a really, really big difference, just the way everything has been charted, because the guy all over the place, it's incredible. If you want somebody, how do I say this? He's the antithesis to Nick Mullins. He has arm talent. He is mobile as hell, and he protects the ball. And he runs a complex offense. He gets through his reads better than any other quarterback in this draft. Maybe Mac Jones you could put up there as far as just read progression, but Trey Lance is up there. NFL body, and it's funny, you know, I post a couple videos about Trey Lance, and everybody's like, it looks like Colin Kaepernick. And I'm just like, nah, I don't know. He puts so much touch on his ball. Yeah, he has a cannon, but he's got it there. You know, 66% completion percentage, 9.7 yards per attempt, 130 passer rating. The guys, it's hard to find anything that is negative about this kid besides things that are outside of his control. Senior year got canceled or postponed, so he missed that. You can talk about the level of competition. That's fine, but and that's whatever. You say whatever you want. You say the same thing about Josh Allen. That would have made sense for Josh Allen, too, in Wyoming. It was the same knock. There are exceptions to the rules. Yeah, you'd rather have an SEC quarterback that's gone against Florida and Alabama and all those teams, but this is the NFL. Trey Lance is a very, very probable draft pick for the 49ers. If he is available at 12, I think there's a strong chance they take him. His mobility is incredible. Again, for a career rushing, 169 rush attempts, 1,100 yards. He averaged 6.5 yards per rush, 14 touchdowns. He runs the jet sweep keep. Again, the offense that they run is very similar to Kyle Shanahan's. So there's just a lot there. I don't know. There's just the kid has whatever it is. Figure out what that is. Jason asked this. I like Trey Lance at 12, but he's not a day one starter. If he's not there, I could see us trading back for more picks and taking a quarterback in round two. Yeah, I agree with you. I think Justin Fields will be gone by then. I think Zach Wilson 100% is going to be gone in the top five picks. The reason why I like Trey Lance so much is because he fits where the 49ers are picking, and he fits our scheme. And I don't want people that turn the damn ball over. That's important to me. And that's why I like Trey Lance. But, man, if the 49ers, if he's there, I would be so happy to grab that guy. Now, again, yeah, falling back, yeah, we'll get through all these positions. We're going to be here all year. We're not going anywhere. Now, Mr. Superfly, if we stick with Jimmy, what is the realistic thing that he'll take a pay cut? John Lynch said we're not asking Jimmy to take a pay cut now because we don't need it. If that changes, then we'll let you know. His contract's really not bad for the future years. You look at Jimmy, he's due $24 million this year. For a starting quarterback, that's not bad. Now, you could bump some of that into the next year, but if you do so, let's say you draft Trey Lance. If you draft Trey Lance, Justin Fields, you draft Zach Wilson, listen to me whenever I say this. Jimmy Garoppolo will start week one over all of them. And he should. And here's why I say that. You want your quarterbacks to sit for a while. The path has been set. You could look at, what happened with, I almost said San Diego Chargers, the Los Angeles Chargers, the rookie of the year, Justin Herbert was amazing. He sat for a few games. Then he comes in. Tua sits for a few games. Then he comes in. Baker Mayfield sits for a few games. Then he comes in. Lamar Jackson sat for a while. Then he comes in. Every NFL team wants that. Even when we traded for Jimmy, he sat for four games before he came in because of injury. So this is a championship team. We're not the Cincinnati Bengals. You're not turning over the reins to a rookie just saying, here, it's your team, go. No, we're playing for a damn Super Bowl in 2021. So you put Jimmy Garoppolo out there, and you hope Jimmy Garoppolo just balls out, and you just sit Trey Lance or Justin Fields or whomever lands there, and you're happy with that. You have to have two quarterbacks in this league, as we found out this year. Now, if Jimmy Garoppolo goes out there and gets hurt, he's not playing well, whatever else, then you put the backup quarterback in with the potential. But Kyle Shanahan's system takes a minute. There's a reason why he went with freaking Brian Hoyer whenever he first came here, somebody that had experience with the system. It's very important. The Kyle Shanahan loyalty project, right? There's a reason why he likes players that have played for him before. It's a complex system. It takes a minute, especially at the quarterback. So even if, Jimmy Garoppolo, we do draft a quarterback. Jimmy's going to be the guy. Now, maybe you bring in somebody like a Matt Stafford and draft a QB. I doubt that happens, but I think it's going to be there. Real quick, I want to stay with this comment, Mr. Superfly. Considering Jimmy's got endorsements from sports car brands and Los Gatos and his Levi jeans commercials, yeah, you're in the NFL, you don't give discounts. I just don't think it happens. But you can front load that or back load it, whatever. There's room in that deal to renegotiate. So, yeah, that is an option. I think that's 100% an option. All right, let's jump to our next quarterback. Man, I might be doing just too much here because I could talk about these quarterbacks all day, and we will revisit them, but I feel like it's important just to get some film out there, to get some stats out there, and just kind of start to develop your base. And again, if you disagree with me on the ranking of these quarterbacks, good. Explain to me why you have Fields above somebody else or why you think, Trey Lance shouldn't be where he is. That's okay. Let's have a debate. We don't have to agree. Trust me, my wife disagrees with me all the time. We do okay. So here is the quarterback, Justin Fields, Ohio State, 6'3", 223. He was the number two quarterback coming out of high school behind Trevor Lawrence, but they were seen kind of neck and neck, not height-wise, but talent-wise. So here we go. Here's a clip real quick from Justin Fields. Ooh, like that play a lot. Look how he stays in the pocket, man. A lot of mobile quarterbacks, they're going to be quick to turn and run. He stays. Pocket presence pretty good. Almost got him, but, man, he stays in there. His eyes don't drop amidst the pressure and amidst the blitz. He's got guys coming after him, But he stays. You'd like him just to hover a little bit more to the left, but man, he puts a dime on this play. That's a heck of a throw right there. Watch it from this side. It's corner route. He likes that corner route a lot. See it here. He's just going to run a corner. Locked onto him the whole time. He fades a little bit to the left. Do you like the pocket presence just enough to give him some time? And put a dime on him. Yeah, and that's kind of, you know, the problem with Ohio State quarterbacks, they're not a fair evaluation. You have to struggle and search to find tight windows that the quarterback threw in because everybody's wide open. Their wide receivers are elite. That wide receiver, the offensive system at Ohio State and Oklahoma, which are very similar to each other, you can't find anybody that's ever covered. So he's throwing to wide open wide receivers all the time. Now, do you dock him for that? No, you don't. But you don't get to measure tight passing windows and all those things because everybody's wide freaking open. And it doesn't matter who they play. It's just a completely spread out offense. And I like Justin Fields. The number one thing that he is the best at out of this draft class is ball location. Now, what do I mean by that? I'm not saying that he throws it into tight windows. No. He knows where he's going with the ball before he throws it, and he's going to throw it to a place where only his guy can get it. So you're talking deep fade routes, post corners, all those things. He can put that ball in a basket wherever the hell he wants on the field. So if you're looking at a target practice quarterback, this guy has it because he understands, you know, I'm going to lead this wide receiver and I'm going to overthrow him off his right shoulder so that there's no chance for interception. He is better at that than anybody else in this draft. It's incredible. Athleticism is good, but he's not a mobile quarterback. You know, he averaged 4.2 yards per carry. They did use him a lot in goal line situation and 19 career rushing touchdowns, which is pretty special. But again, 4.2 yards per carry, not elite. His athleticism's more navigating inside the pocket and making incredible throws off platform. He's good at that. Lots of positive things. He doesn't take negative plays. He really, really doesn't. Now, the sacks are bad. You don't like the sacks, but a 41 touchdown to 3 interception ratio, that's stupid. It doesn't even make sense, 41 touchdowns to 3 interceptions. The guy's all over the place, very catchable ball, 3.9% drop percentage from his wide receivers. He's just good at everything. He's you know, you hear the trade, and I use this a lot in my draft stuff, jack of all trades. He's a king of all trades, ace of none. He's a king. He's great, above average at everything. Arm strength, no, it's not the best. Athleticism, no, it's not the best. Body type, no, it's not the best. He does lock into receivers too often, but they're all wide freaking open. They're all open. it's hard to find somebody struggling. Master Shake. I love that name. He struggled against Indiana and Northwestern. You are correct. And a lot of that has to do with, man, the defense was just freaking wide open every single week. So whenever they go into a game, and again, I don't have the coaching film on that those games yet. Once I do, I will get them up on Patreon for sure. But yeah, I like them. Now, here's a question from Sergio. And now that Urban Meyer's at Jacksonville, do you think he'll draft Fields? Hell no. Let me put it this way. If Justin Fields' parents were the head coaches at Jacksonville, they're taking Trevor Lawrence. It's not even close. I don't even have Justin Fields as my QB2. I don't have Justin Fields as my QB3. Now, obviously, I'm probably in the minority in those rankings, but heck no, man. I'm telling you right now, if you had Trevor Lawrence and Andrew Luck in a draft, more people would take Trevor Lawrence. Like, that's how good and clean this kid is. He has it all. And I like it. It's not close. It's not close. Now, if for some reason Justin Fields does go number one, you try to sell the farm number two. You go get whatever you got to do number two. Because again, the Jets are picking number two. yeah, they need a quarterback. They have Sam Darnold, whatever. They're going to have a new coaching staff. Yeah, they'll probably take Trevor Lawrence. But I'm telling you right now, the only reason why Urban Meyer is in Jacksonville is Trevor Lawrence. That's it. He doesn't come out of retirement from his health problems. Notice I use air quotations there. That dude was involved in a lot of scandals. Anyway, if you want to look into that, spend some time online. It doesn't take much clicking around to figure out why or what his quote-unquote health problems were. They weren't health problems. They had to do with female problems. Anyway, having said all those things, Jacksonville's going to be a safe place for him. Let me tell you that. Let's talk about our last guy today. This is the wonderful Mac Jones, who is just coming off another elite performance in the national championship. One of the best teams in college football history, probably, this year's Alabama team. Definition of efficient. 6'3", 214. And a lot of people aren't going to like Zach Wilson. And a lot of people won't put him in this tier of these top quarterbacks. I think he's closer to the tier than most people want to admit. Now, is he ever going to play behind an offensive line as good as he did at Alabama, or with wide receivers as good as Alabama, or running backs as good at Alabama? Probably not. That was a stacked team. But this guy, he is exactly what you want if you want an efficient quarterback that knows where to put the ball. You team Mac Jones up with a good offensive play caller and a decent supporting staff, you're going to get a lot of wins. So here we go. Here's Mac Jones, quarterback from Alabama. Too high safety look again. Gave his guy a chance to go get the ball. This is the deep ball that he throws. Kind of a shot put, right? I mean, he's not a guy that comes over the top of the ball. He's going to put a good arc on it. He leads his wide receiver away. So you'll see here, post up, just a corner route. Had him beat, you know, a little. It's underthrown for sure. You'll see here, just post straight up the seam and then hit that corner. Watch where he throws it, though, okay? He's throwing it here. You've got a guy trailing. The safety went over the top here and is occupied. Other safety came down. So you know you've got one-on-one. Hell of a catch there by the wide receiver. Waddle. Let's see it from here. Let's watch his footwork, his mechanics. Yeah, his elbows dip in a little much. You like the hip opening on the left side. You like him leading with the shoulder. All of this is pretty good. Elbows a little low. Ball kind of comes out the side a little bit, which you don't mind. He's not one that drives over his shoulder. And what I mean by that is you can see the trajectory is going here. His hips and everything is laying here straight up the seam. So it kind of comes out the back of his hand, which is the reason why he doesn't have as much power as others. But still, great ball. Give his guy a shot for sure. Nice ball. All right, that's Mac Jones, Alabama quarterback, 6'3", 214. Now, there's a lot to like with this kid. Okay, but you have to understand, you have to project. He's a projection quarterback. A lot of people have him going in the second round. I think he's a little bit closer to the end of the first round or the top of the second round. I kind of see him going in that 30 to 40 range draft pick wise. Listen to these numbers, okay? The best passing efficiency in the history of college football. Number one all time. He had a 202.3 passer rating, the best since it's ever been recorded. He led the entire NCAA in completion percentage with 77% completion percentage. Passing yards, get this, passing yards per attempt, 11.3. Best in college football history. This dude's explosive, and he has a limited arm, but he gets the ball out so quick, and he leads his wide receivers. Now, is he playing with freaking two Heisman Trophy contenders at wide receiver? Yeah, he was. It's elite what he has around him. But in the NFL, teams love to play man coverage, not the 49ers so much. This guy against man coverage team, he's going to light him up. He's going to light him up. He is dominant versus man coverage. His read progressions, some of the best I've ever seen. A+. He gets through three reads on a given play with simplicity. The kid has it. And again, very catchable deep ball, not a huge arm strength guy. He's not winning throwing competitions by any stretch. And again, you look at the helmet, and you don't want to scout the helmet, right? You look at Ohio State. man, all their quarterbacks look really, really good in college, and then they don't pan out. Alabama's the same thing. And so I see it, Trent. He says, forget him. It's A.J. McCarron, too. This kid ain't A.J. McCarron. Now, do I think that he's a starter? No. Do I think that teams target him as, oh, this is my quarterback of the future? Hell no. But we all know there's only 3 to 4 quarterbacks in a given year that even have the possibility of being franchise quarterbacks. Mac Jones is a guy that if somebody misses out, and if you can sit him for a while to learn a system, again, he has to be behind a good offensive line. You put Mac Jones behind a bad offensive line, that it's over before it started. But this kid has whatever it takes. I haven't finished, you know, my player comps for everybody. I got to do at least 3 films before I do that. But what comes to mind for me, and just playing style, is Andy Dalton with more upside. And I don't mean that as a negative thing, but that is kind of where he is. He's a second-round quarterback. And some teams going to be happy to get him because, man, the way this kid, no negative plays, 36 touchdowns, 4 interceptions this year. That doesn't count bowl game stats. I finished this before that. But I like the kid. I really, really do. And I think that somebody, you know, once they lose out on the other quarterback, somebody's going to like him. He might be a career backup. Again, that's not a negative for a quarterback, but he's not one of those elite guys. There's no doubt about that. So hopefully you guys have enjoyed this, you know, just kind of a little bit of discussion on these quarterbacks. There's a lot more. There's no doubt. I've already done Kyle Trask, but I haven't cut up his film into smaller numbers. I'm going to keep going through the quarterbacks. And again, always focusing on 49ers positions that need help. Cornerback, defensive ends, interior offensive linemen, wide receivers, freaking every damn year, corners. Yeah, there's lots of spots that we need. Again, I go over all this on the Patreon account. And again, I showed you a minute to 2 minute clip on each one of these guys. There are 40 plus minutes currently up on patreon.com, 49ers Rush Podcast. It's $8 a month. We do 2 video breakdowns at least each week. And, you know, as draft heats up, once I get back my old computer, dang it, hoping to do more than that. But anyway, really do appreciate the support. And remember, if you want to submit a song, just email that to me, 49ersrushpodcast@gmail.com for some prizes. And again, I might use your song for the intro. Just say thank you for all that. And it's something fun. If you want a competition, if you're creative, I'm the opposite of those things, man. I could never do one of those things. I play guitar a little bit, but man, singing and all that stuff, that ain't me. But I do want to say thank you. Appreciate everybody. Countdown crew, you guys are the best. We're going to have that Nick Bosa jersey giveaway in 2 episodes. So you got 1 more opportunity to enter into the Countdown crew for that Nick Bosa jersey. Again, it's free. I'll send it to 1 lucky listener. Hashtag CC in the first 90 seconds. That's going to do it. Appreciate you guys as always. And until next time, stay strong, faithful.